Chapter 48 Aboard the Monarch. A drop of sweat meandered through follicles of thick, dark hair, trickling forward and down the side of a man's face. It reached his chin, mixed with a drop of fresh blood, and fell to the deck below, splattering in a microscopic explosion like a Jackson Pollock canvas wrought on machined aluminum plating. Joe Zavala smiled at the thought. Blood, sweat, and tears, he'd call it. He was facing the deck, supporting himself on his hands as if he was doing a push-up. His jaw ached from the pistol whipping that had drawn the blood, but he was a fighter by nature, and going all the way to the floor was something he refused to do. "Ready for more?" a brusque female voice asked. "To be honest," Joe said, "I wasn't ready for that one." Joe had endured a strange couple of days. At least he thought it was a couple of days. He couldn't really be certain. One moment, he'd been on the verge of escaping from the docking sphere in Tessa's submerged production facility off Bermuda. The next instant, the entire vessel shook, and a wall of water had surged into the sphere and through the tunnel behind him. Joe had pulled himself out of the water and onto the submersible, which was banging around inside the sphere. That kept him from being sucked back into the tunnel, but as he looked for Kurt and Miar, someone had clubbed him from behind. By the time he'd returned to a conscious state, he was in the submersible, tied up and gagged like the men he and Kurt had left behind. The sub was descending into the outer hull and ramming its way out through the sliding door in the side of the ship. When the submarine surfaced, Joe was hauled aboard the mystery freighter, which he learned was named the Morgana. He was kept in a dark hold, fed nothing, and drugged when he started to complain about the accommodations. Transfer to the Monarch happened the next night, and since then, his home had been a cargo compartment on the lowest deck of the plane. The compartment had been frigid when they were airborne, only to grow stifling and hot after they'd landed. It was cramped, without any creature comforts or even a blanket. But it was better than the alternative. "You're lucky to be alive," Tessa told him, raising the possibility of that alternative. Joe looked up. Tessa stood there, flanked by several of her men. One was a big bearded fellow who Joe had seen on the freighter after his capture. The others were smaller and seemed better at taking orders than anything else. "Get up," Tessa demanded. As Joe stood, Tessa snapped her fingers, and another prisoner was dragged into view. Joe recognized Priya instantly. "What are you doing here?" Priya's eyes fell as she spotted him. She didn't say a word. "She's here because she was foolish enough to place this on the hull of my aircraft," Tessa said. In her hand, Joe saw a geo-tracker. "We saw her, followed her back to the yacht, and captured her. Just about the time you and Austin were blowing up my production facility. If you think you've stopped me, you're sadly mistaken. I have other facilities, and the need for that place is just about at an end anyway." "If we did you such a favor," Joe said, "how about just letting us go and calling it even?" "Because things are never even," Tessa said. "You're either winning or you're losing, and you and your friends in Washington are going to lose badly." Joe had no desire for a long conversation. "Let's cut to the chase," he said. "What do you want from us?" "You," Tessa said, "are here only as leverage." She turned to Priya. "This one, on the other hand, has useful skills. Convince her to hack into Numa's computer system for me." Joe saw where this was going. So did Priya. "I won't do it." "Of course you will," Tessa said. "The only question is whether your friend here will still be able to walk when you finally give in." With that, Tessa turned to her men. "Stretch him out. If she fails us, begin showing Ms. Kashmir what leverage really looks like." Joe's wrists were wrapped in electrical cables and pulled wide. As one of her men moved in to administer the same treatment to Joe's leg, Joe spun, kicked him in the face, and then pulled his arm free. The big fellow tackled him and put him in a headlock. Joe swung his head back, connecting with the man's chin, but the blow wasn't enough to set him free. "Enough," Tessa shouted. "One more act of resistance out of you, and I'll cut her throat." Joe looked over. Tessa had Priya by the hair with a knife against her throat. "She's such a pretty thing," Tessa said. "But that can be changed." The knife left Priya's throat and migrated to her cheek, drawing a taste of blood. Joe stopped, struggling. Tessa had the upper hand. He could do nothing without them harming Priya. He wouldn't let that happen. Tessa turned her attention back to Priya. "Your friend has chosen you over his own pride. What will you choose?" Priya stubbornly kept her mouth shut, and Tessa gave the order. "Break his back. Turn him into an invalid like her." "No," Priya shouted, tears welling up in her dark eyes. "You want him to keep walking," Tessa said. "Of course. Then get on that computer, log on to Numa, and tell me what they're up to." Priya looked at Joe, tears running down her face, dropping to the floor to complete Joe's imaginary painting. Joe nodded softly to her. "It's okay," he said. What he didn't say was obvious. If they were going to escape, they first had to survive.